Jessica.
This is episode 95 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Good evening.
Hello. Been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
We say that every time,
but I know, but yeah.
We have a lot of stuff going on lately.
There is a lot of stuff, so.
Let's start with announcing the Knit Fit class winner, who is Blue Canoe, who's Laura from Seattle. She
congratulations.
Won, see, what class did she want? Fashion, Fit, Form, and Function. It's Shannon and, what's his face?
Oh, Mullet Bowlesby?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Sheba Guys.
So, that's the class she won.
Cool.
That should all be set up. We talked about this a little bit before. Knit Fit is November 8th and 9th in Seattle, in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which is Ballard. And We're both going to be at game knitting for the first time.
It's the first time I ever get to go. They moved. Knit Fit is usually the same weekend as my November knitting retreat, and now it's a week later, so yes. I get to do both.
Very exciting.
Yes. And
that's hosted by Lethal. So.
Yes.
Lee Meredith. And I haven't checked to see what the movie is. I'm pretty sure I missed the polling on that one, but.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
And that's probably on the Knit Fit group.
Yeah.
On Ravelry. You can check it out.
Yes.
Come hang with us.
Got some spinning fiber mixed in with my knitting.
It's like, oh my
weird.
God, that's cat hair.
I know, I just reached down and there's like a little wadge of black merino stuck to my knitting. Because
cat you always hear, she's a black cat. And Jessica pulled out this like big black. I was like, yeah. Oh my god, that's so embarrassing. Vacuumed them.
That's spinning that's not fiber. Cat. It's not cat from hair. A sheep. Sorry. Okay, do we have any other announcy things?
Oh, so I decided what the next knit along is going to be.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
I didn't even consult you. We're going to have a Cardi Party knit along. And I totally stole Cardi Party from my friend Andy. We were doing a sweater knit along in her group. Mm-hmm. My sister's knitter. Hello, Andy. She's a listener.
Different Andy. I'm sorry. We had Andy on the podcast
not
talking
Andy
about
Satterland.
That.
Okay. My other friend
Andies.
Andy.
Ah, okay.
Who's in Arizona, who has an awesome blog. So she was posting these funny pictures about this guy wearing a cardigan with nothing underneath. She's like, Cardi Party. So I was like, I'm totally stealing that.
Cardi Party sounds like it should be a Leslie Hall song.
Oh, I should email her.
I know. Can we have a song, please, for a Cardi Party?
I know. You can also put cats in it. That's fine.
That's right.
So we're going to have a Cardi, short for cardigan, party knit along.
Awesome.
Beginning September 1st and going to the end of November.
Gee, when will I ever knit a cardigan?
When do I
ever knit anything but cardigans?
Yeah. So you can knit a cardigan for yourself, or you can knit a baby cardigan, any size cardigan for any person, cat cardigan, whatever.
I do not recommend cat cardigans.
Abra knit one, so.
Really? Yeah. She knit a cardigan?
A cat cardigan.
Oh my god.
Pretty sure.
Wouldn't they like step on the front of it?
Maybe it was a pullover.
Cat sweater.
Maybe it had buttons.
I don't know.
Maybe it had buttons.
The big problem with the cat sweater, though, it always makes their butt look fat. You know? You squeeze
I like that we're
them
having
in the top.
Conversation.
And then their butt looks all fat and fluffy. The other problem is that you're putting a sweater on a cat. Come on, people. Cardi Party. So this is going to kick off
September 1st. So you have a couple weeks to think about that.
Yeah.
You can double dip with other knit alongs. I don't care.
Yeah. The Fiber Gallery is doing a knit along that starts at the end of September for custom fit. So if you wanted to make a custom fit cardigan, we're having a measurement party on the 21st where you come in and you pay like one fee and you get your measurements done and then you get to come back later with your swatch and we generate a pattern for you.
Oh, cool.
So there's that. We're also doing private appointments for that. So getting excited.
Many
for that.
Options.
Many options.
And whips can count.
Ooh.
I know.
Does so that mean everyone's going to be like messaging me about my giant Latvian mitten? Because that's not going to happen. So just save your messages. I'm not doing
Aren't
it.
Aren't you almost done with that?
No. No.
Anyway, I'll start a thread on our group, Double Knit Ravelry. No, Double Knit Podcast
fans.
We are fans of Ravelry. What's on Ravelry?
We're so weird. Why can we not ever say that? Okay.
It's a thing now.
Double Knit Podcast fans on Ravelry.
Yes, I will start a thread on it probably this weekend.
Cool.
To announce that stuff.
All right.
Yes. And there will be rules and junk on there. Check there.
Rules and junk?
You know.
All right.
It's kind of loosey-goosey. Not a whole lot of rules.
No.
You do have to be a member of the group to be eligible for prizes, though. So
that seems pretty fair.
Do you want to talk about weaving camp?
Sure. So I spent 5 days, 2 weeks ago at this point, at a weaving retreat with Judith McKenzie, who you've probably heard me talk about a lot before because I take classes with her every year at Madrona.
Spinning classes, right?
Yeah. She's my spinning mentor. And if you've been listening to this podcast for any period of time, you know that I am a bit of a failed weaver when it comes to my table loom. I got the hang of my Cricut, but my table loom, I've had a lot of projects end up in the garbage. So I had a whole bunch of Kauni, which is the Danish yarn that's like the long color shifts. And I thought I would just do a really simple, like I was just saying.
Is it the two-ply or the sport weight one?
The sport weight one. So, yeah. And I think I'm just going to do like plain weave, just tabby, like really easy. And Judith was like, well, why don't you do this? And I finally decided to say to her, like, I need a win. Like, I just need a project to not be a disaster. And then that one turned into a disaster. Because even after we had tested the yarn for strength for warp, once I had it on the loom, one section kept breaking. Yeah. And then, so we pulled out some lengths of the yarn to really study and discovered that in one of the colors, there were all of the, instead of like a knot, they did a steam join in the factory.
Oh.
But there were lots of them, and when you'd hit one, you could just pull the yarn apart in that section. So even though the rest of the yarn as it was spun was
probably
strong
fine
enough.
For knitting.
Yeah, for definitely weaving. Fine for knitting, but not for weaving. So that
sad.
Got cut off and thrown in the trash because,
sad.
I know, fortunately it wasn't all the yarn because, you know, it's only a portion of it that goes on the loom. But
yeah.
So then I wound another warp in some old lace white alpaca. And once I had it wound, I looked at it and decided the colors were kind of blah. So I decided to dye that instead. So I couldn't do that. And then I did a, like, crazy mixed warp where it was just, like, a bunch of old crap from my stash and all this weird coned yarn, boucle mohair, and kooky stuff from Judith's pile of stuff. And it's in crazy, like, candy corn, autumn 70s upholstery colors.
Sweet.
Which I'm going to over-dye. I did a test dye of it. And if you dye black over all the gross orange, it turns into a really nice olive green. And I finally finished weaving that just a couple days ago.
I saw your pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, there's 4.5 yards of it.
Whoa, that's a lot.
20 inches across, and I have no idea what I'm going to do with it.
Big ass table runner, you?
Yeah. I need to like line like 3 tables up and be like, "Jew, there we go." It's a little too gauzy to like make clothes out of it unless I was going to line it. It would be, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. So it's fabric right now. But it got me all fired up, and I started...
But it's a win, right?
Yes, it's a win.
Excellent.
I won.
Yay!
Even though I won't even go into the details. Like, everything that could have possibly gone wrong with that warp went wrong. But I still pulled it out in the end.
See, there you go.
I got my win, so yay! So, and I learned a ton, and I just feel, like, a lot more confident about approaching it now.
Good. That's a good feeling.
So, yeah, it was very well worthwhile. So, all right. So, what are you working on?
Sample knitting times 4.
Sample knitting times 4.
I got a crap ton of stuff all at once.
Okay.
I'm almost done. I'm on the last thing for one person. I was knitting 3 things for one person and 1 thing for another person.
Wow.
Can't even talk about it.
Is that it?
No.
You've got something
to talk about? Part of the reason we're having whips count for this Cardi party is because I started a cast on for a cardigan for myself, but I'm probably not going to be able to touch it until September 1st.
Oh, okay.
Because I have these samples that I have to get done. But I bought a pattern called Pretty Me by Nadia Kutin-Lechen. I believe that's it. It's $7-ish, US, because she's a French designer, but it's part of an ebook called Emmetouflage, which is $25-ish.
Okay.
And it's 4 women's sweaters with matching kids' sweaters. Aww. And also, like, other accessories. It's really cute. And I decided that I wanted to knit at least two of the adult sweaters and probably all the kids' sweaters for Audrey.
Yeah.
It's really cute. And you can buy each of the patterns separately, but I was like, if I just bought four of those patterns separately, it'd be the same cost. So
what does Pretty Me look like?
It is a cardigan, and it's mostly stockinette, and it has... They call it, like, a smock stitch, but it's kind of like a honeycomb cable panels in the front. And
kind of like Aislinn.
Aislinn has lace panels.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah. And it has, no, it doesn't. I was going to say it has a stitch pattern on the back, but it's not. It's plain.
Okay.
There are no pictures of the back of this one, so I actually don't know what it looks like. Oh. I think it's just stockinette. It'd be hilarious
if it was just, like, totally insane on the back. I know. Yeah. Like, ooh. It was like granny squares.
So, so I wanted something mostly stockinette because that's where my head is lately.
Yes.
And I was thinking about knitting another Audrey and Ernst.
Oh, wow.
But then I was like, I want to knit something different. Yeah. And this one, I was doing all these different searches because I wanted to use my neighborhood fiber company, Studio Sport in the Del Rey, which is a yellow.
Okay.
And it has, like, I think the stitch range on it is 5 to 6 on a 4 to a 6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this sweater is knit at a DK weight. And I was like, well, I'm just going to do some swatching and see what fabric I like. And usually with sport weight yarns, I start with the smallest needle.
Right.
Because I like a fairly dense one. And I actually got gauge a 22 stitches to the inch on a 4 after I washed it. So it's a pretty bouncy superwash. It's underneath that white swatch right there.
Oh, yeah.
So I just cast that on, and I'm like into the 5th row of ribbing at the bottom. It's a bottom up. And then it has, I think it has like kind of a saddle shoulder type deal at the top. Okay. I haven't gotten that far. Don't read ahead. Whatever. I made sure I had enough yarn and I was knitting the correct size.
It'll be a surprise when you get there.
Crazy granny squares and stuff on the back. Right. But I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And the whole ebook is really cute. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Because I have, I got that yarn out and decided it looked really good with this fabric. Hold on a
sec. Oh, you're attached.
Oh, that's okay. this is my chambray.
Oh, yeah.
With anchors on it. Did I show this to you before?
Yes.
Yeah. I finally washed it, though.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to do a dress in the chambray and then
and then I think that golden yellow will look really cute over that gray and black. So I'm kind of walking away from the mic there. Sorry. So, that's that. That's all I'm working on besides the sample knitting.
Okay, well, this will be easy, too, because I finished my custom fit cardigan number 2 in the Woo Boo. I haven't blocked it yet, but I finished it all up on Monday night at knitting. And then I picked up this stripey Saki Cardi or Saki Stripe. Anyway, Saki the little stripey baby sweater that I'm making in the colors that I hate. And I have like an inch left to do, and I don't know why I'm just dragging my feet on it.
Because you don't like the colors.
I don't. It's true. That and also the ends that that's I have to deal with ends later. There's like 8,000 ends because it's all these scraps. But, so that's all I've been doing for knitting. I was totally monogamous on the custom fit. But I did. I barely knit a stitch when I was at weaving camp, and then when I got home, I was weaving, trying to finish all that yardage. Last night, I pulled out my mini spinner and I actually did some spinning, which I haven't done.
Oh, awesome!
The fiber that I was spinning, and it's a teeny quantity of fiber. It was stuff that I dyed when I got home from Madrona because I was like all high on Madrona fumes, like all the fiber arts, yay!
Yeah.
So it's been on my wheel since like March probably. It's pretty sad, and it's maybe 2 ounces of fiber total, so at least I finally finished that. But then it got me like, I need to organize my fiber stash, so I've been dragging stuff out. None of my fiber stash is in Ravelry, so I think putting it in there might help me get my head around it a little bit and also come to grips with the fact that, oh my god, if I don't start spinning like all the time, between now and when I die, they're just going to wrap me in wool and, like, roll me into the ocean or something.
Sweet. You'll be felted.
Yeah. Like soap. But it's just, like, I have so much. And I keep, like, I thought, like, oh, I've got this giant bag and this other thing. And then I walked into my office last night and I was like, oh, man, that whole big Rubbermaid bin is full of fiber, too. It's like an illness. And I haven't purchased fiber in years because I knew I had way too much.
Just
because
you don't purchase it doesn't mean it goes away.
I know, but it's like I haven't made a dent. I feel
like my sock, and I'm like, oh my God, you're still here?
I know, I have not made a dent in it. Plus, I get tons of stuff when I take classes. Yeah, so like tonight before I came over, I was running late because I had spread all of the fiber I've gotten from classes with Judith out on the dining room table to try to organize it to actually like... Do something with it instead of... Because it's like millions of random scraps. And you know me and the random scraps. I can't just let them go. I have to like coordinate them into a single gigantic project. And then I was like, ooh, I could do like a blanket. I'm like, why is that always my answer to everything? Like, someday I've got to just get a grip on it and not think I should take everything and roll it all together and make one giant project. So anyway, so that is what I have been up to.
I have some FOs.
Okay.
I finished my zombie Hello Kitty socks.
Oh, yeah.
They're fun.
Did you? I don't know if you talked about them last. Oh, I think maybe you did. Yeah. It's self-striping.
It's self-striping, and it's in, like, pale green with pink flecks and a dark green stripe. It's just a two-striper by Canon Hand Dyes.
Oh, right.
I got it because it's called zombie Hello Kitty.
Yes, you did.
Those are done. I just did an afterthought heel. I knit Bandwidth by Stephen West from book two. And that is a good book for scrap projects. Because there's a lot of stuff that's like small yardages of different colors. Mm-hmm. So Bandwidth is, it's like one of those hats where you knit like kind of like a headband and then you pick up and knit a separate thing.
It's a shaped band, right? Like it's wider in the front and narrower in the back so that it kind of pushes it back into a slouch. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cute. So I used Malabrigo Rios and Tosh Vintage. And the Rios is blue and the Vintage is gray. So I feel like that Dutch Boy Paints kid. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Little Dutch Boy.
It's basically like that. But it has like a texture. The top, the crown part of the hat has a texture and a cable. So it was really fun to knit and it was really fast.
And when you pulled it out to show everybody at knitting, there was like a very solid round of ooh. So yeah,
Dutch boy aside.
Scores points for the knitters.
With my short hair.
Yeah.
It just needs to be blonde.
With some overalls. Just dangle off the side of the building. You're all set.
That's cool. I just need a dog. Doesn't he have a dog?
Does he?
Does he have a little dog?
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway. I knit the Basic Baby Hat by Heather Tucker, which is a free pattern, and that's, like I said, I was going through all my scraps of stuff and just knitting a bunch of things, so it's orange and white with a big pom-pom on top.
Oh, right, you were just trying to use all the last bits.
Yeah, which I did, I totally am, I'm done with, I think all the orange is gone.
I was thinking of you at the Weaving Retreat, because I had one more skein of the gross yellow color of palette that I ended up with. God. After Madrona, so I dyed it a really gorgeous cherry red.
Oh, really?
And I over dyed again the three ply, or the three strand cabled yarn I made with the other palette that I'd gotten.
Oh yeah.
That I had dyed, and it came out. I mean, it came out a cute color, like kind of a strawberry red. But I dyed it like a really, really rich red. Now it's more my color, less orangey.
What else I did? Oh, I made Propeller by Woolly Wormhead. It's from her Wee Woolly Toppers ebook. And I used a partial skein of Spud and Chloe Sweater in the grape jelly color. That's for Audrey. I knit one of the larger sizes in the book, I think. I just weighed the ball and figured out what size I could knit with the yardage I had.
Yeah.
And Audrey's like, ooh, I like that. And it's a beret style it's six sections, three are garter and three are stockinette and three are reverse stockinette.
Oh, cute.
And so you block it over a little plate and it looks like a propeller.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
Very cute.
And then I knit a random baby hat out of stat. I think I was just like tired but wanted to knit. I just like grabbed a partial ball and I was like, you will be a baby hat. Just made a baby hat.
That's good.
And then another design I'm working on. I know I said last time that I was going to publish that shawl by the end of the month. I was so high or something. No way, Jose. It's been test knit, and I just have to make some changes to the pattern and get it photographed. Mm-hmm. So that will be out soon. But then my friend Nikki was here from visiting from Indiana. I just came up with a mitts pattern because I didn't want to follow a pattern. Mm-hmm. And that will be coming out soon, too. I knit two pair.
Ooh.
Out of Classic Elite Fresco. So they're kind of cool. Fuzzy.
Yeah.
There's a short version and a long version.
Excellent.
It's basically an inch difference.
We got Fresco on clearance at the Fiber Gallery.
Yeah. That's why I bought it 40% off. It was in my scrap bag. And I was like, I bet I could get some mitts out of this. Cool. And I totally did. And they are cute.
Good.
So that's that.
All right.
Lots of tiny things. Sounds and then lots good. Of things I can't talk about.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I have not read any books, so here you go ahead and do books now.
I read the 12th Sookie Stackhouse book. So just to preface this, I had like 4 or 5 days off because Nikki was visiting, so at a staycation. And then my family was gone for 6 days, so I basically came home and sat on my butt and knit and drank beer. Like an adult or 20-something-year-old. yeah. So I had a lot of knitting time.
Sounds good.
And reading time. So I did a lot of both.
All right.
So I read the 12th Sookie Stackhouse book, and it was mediocre. One more to go.
You're just going to tough it out, even though they stink?
I wouldn't call that toughing it out.
Oh, okay.
Because they're so easy to read.
All right.
But they're definitely not. It's bottom of the barrel kind of stuff. Yesterday I finished Speaker for the Dead, which is the second book of the Ender trilogy by Orson Scott Card.
Oh, okay.
So there's Ender's Game, and then there's Speaker for the Dead, and then there's another one. But there are other books in that universe that take place in that universe. I don't know. The second book was really good. Speaker for the Dead was really good. Mm-hmm. A little too long, but less super action-y than the first book.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to do with... So Ender is still alive after thousands of years because it's the way time travel works. Like, you kind of go into stasis, and mm-hmm. it takes light years to get places. So, like, all these years will pass, but you stay basically the same age. So mm-hmm. he's really old because he's done all this space travel. And he ends up going to this planet where... The humans have set up a small colony, and there are people studying another species. They're called the piggies. And the human colony is fenced in, and Ender goes there to speak for several people who have died. He does kind of eulogy things. That's what his deal is.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up that I can't remember what the government is, the space government is.
space government.
They notice that the people who are the sociologists or whatever that are studying, I think they call them Xenodors, that are studying the piggies have interfered too much because they notice that the piggies are now like doing things they hadn't done before human interaction. Like growing this type of amaranth and using different tools and things. So they're like, the government's basically saying, we need to evacuate everyone because you're interfering too much in this other culture. You're influencing them too much. Was that the prime directive kind of thing? It's like, not interfere.
Right.
If you're at Star Trek at all. The basic thing is to not interfere in these other developing cultures. And so, basically, the planet goes into rebellion. There's a bunch of other stuff that happens, but that's the gist of it. So it's a little more, like, philosophical, kind of, and dealing with people of different backgrounds and species. It's interesting, but kind of long. And what else am I reading? The Strain! The Guillermo del Toro, Chuck Hogan book, that trilogy that's now a TV
like a
show,
TV
I guess.
Show, yeah.
It's very good.
Oh.
Freaky deaky man.
Ooh.
I like it.
Is it zombie-ish or?
It's not zombies. Vampires.
Ah, vampires. All right.
Yeah. It's gross, though.
Oh, great.
I mean, I'm grossed out by it, and I'm not really grossed out by that much.
I was going to say, I'll pass then. Thank you.
It starts with a fairy tale, or not a, like a grandmother's tale that she's telling her grandson while they eat dinner about this. Anyway, it's a fable.
Yes.
And then it kind of moves forward, and a plane is landing. So they have record, like, a transcript of black box conversation, and then 5 minutes later, the plane is found on the JFK runway, and it's totally black. And there's, like, totally dead. Like, there's nothing happening around it. So the CDC gets called in because they're, you know, they don't know what's happening. And they open it up, all the passengers have died. Dun, dun, dun! Yeah.
Oh, good.
So it follows different people. It follows, like, the main CDC guy. It follows,
If you're someone who's, like, freaking out about Ebola right now, I would say don't read this book.
Yeah. it follows, like, the kid from the very beginning of the story whose grandmother was telling him the fable. Mm. Follows some rich guy. I don't know what's going on with that yet. But it follows a bunch of different people around. But it's very good. Definitely page turner. If you like Guillermo del Toro movies, probably not Pacific Rim, but, like, Pan's Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. Like super disturbing kind of things. You'll like it. Not Hellboy. But I could see, like, if he has a hand in the show. I haven't seen the show, but if he has a hand in the show, it's probably interesting to watch. So. Yeah. And then the last, the other book I'm reading is Under the Skin by, is it Michelle Faber or Michelle Faber?
Do not know.
I think he's English. But it's the book
that the movie's based on.
They're totally different. Oh. But also very, very good.
Cool.
A lot more action and dialogue and characters.
Huh. Interesting.
So I can see how they're related, but they're different. So that's a woman who seduces men. She lives in Scotland. Yeah. She lives in Scotland, but they're more of her ilk out there. Mm. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Cool.
Sci-fi, definitely. Mm-hmm. Straight up sci-fi. So, long list of books.
I've been watching a ton of stuff. So, I hurt my foot. I have plantar fasciitis in my right foot, which means I can't walk, which means I can't walk at all. And so, I've been, like, on my butt watching tons of stuff. So, Amazon Prime added all this HBO content. So, I've been catching up on some of that. I watched the entire series of Enlightened, which is a 2-season series created by Laura Dern and Mike White, and it's directed and written by Mike White as well, and he directed several episodes, and so did Miguel Arteta, who directed, like, The Good Girl. But it's actually, the list of directors is like a who's who of 90s indie filmmaking. It's like Nicole Holofcener and Jonathan Demme. And anyway, it's a show about, it starts on the day that this woman, Amy Jellicoe, who works at some mega corporation, has a total, complete meltdown at work.
Sweet.
And so she goes off to, I think it's like called like New Horizons or something, some retreat center in Hawaii to kind of, you know, get centered. And then you meet her coming back into her life and kind of having to confront a lot of the same challenges that led to her breakdown in the first place. So Mike White plays one of her coworkers, and her ex-husband is played by Luke Wilson. Her mom is played by Laura Dern's actual mom, Diane Ladd. And they've played mother-daughter and other things before, too. So, it's good. It's like kind of black comedy. I enjoyed it. And then I also watched Mildred Pierce, which I'd been dying to see, which Todd Haynes directed, stars Kate Winslet. Mm. I love, love, love the original one with Joan Crawford, even though I know it's quite different from the source material. And this one apparently is much truer to the original novel, but it's just dreary. It's just like plodding and long and dreary and I kind of hated Mildred, and I just hated everybody in it. So, but I stuck it out because I'm like, no, it's Kate Winslet, it's Melissa Leo, Guy Pearce. You know, it's really good cast, really good director, but I just did not enjoy it. And I saw another. Well, you watched Take This Waltz, right? Michelle Williams and Seth Rogen, married couple. She kind of falls in love with a guy down the street.
No.
No. Oh, I thought you had. Okay. So that's the plot line.
Okay.
It's directed by Sarah Polley. And Michelle Williams, Seth Rogen play married couple. She falls in love with a guy down the street. I did not like this movie because I didn't. I hated her. I hated her character so much. She was just this immature. Oh, I just wanted to like shake her and pinch her and didn't like it. And also, I don't know. I don't really know like films that kind of are like the key to everything is infidelity. Yay, infidelity! I'm like, I'm not really down with that. I don't. That doesn't work for me. But so interestingly though, I just watched last night, and this is on Watch Instant. So is Take This Waltz. But on Watch Instant is another film that Sarah Polley directed. That is sort of a pseudo documentary called Stories We Tell, that is where she is interviewing / constructing a narrative with her own family members about her mother who died when she was a child. And, you know, setting up these juxtapositions where you've got like her father telling one part of the story and a sibling telling another part of the story and a friend of the family, and they're not all lining up and just trying. It's just, it's a really interesting film, and it actually for me shed a little bit of light on Take This Waltz, and it's just a really clever, intriguing unfolding of a story, and the way she juxtaposes all these different people telling the story and how much she is a allegedly as a documentarian is like kind of reaching in and fiddling with things while still making an effort to create some way to kind of bring back to life this memory of her mother who died when she was 11. Really interesting stuff. I liked that a ton. Also in the category of really interesting, I watched The Master, which is the Paul Thomas Anderson film starring Philip Seymour Hoffman. Very sorry he is gone. And Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. Dying is a thing lately.
Ugh. It's gone but, around. It's sort of, people always call it like the Scientology film where Joaquin Phoenix is a sailor post-World War II who is kind of restless and adrift in his life, and he meets a character who's supposed to be sort of like an L. Ron Hubbard type
I feel like
spiritual leader of something that sounds an awful lot like Scientology. It's very...
Do they move houses a lot?
Yes.
Is there a big group of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen
and
this.
And Amy Adams plays the wife.
Yeah, I've seen this.
It's very atmospheric. There's very little dialogue. It actually reminds me a lot of, like, the first part of There Will Be Blood, which is told, like, with virtually no dialogue, where you're just kind of watching it. It's really beautifully shot. It's really unsettling. It's not, like, a ton of fun to watch. It's disturbing, and it doesn't try to explain itself or explain its characters at all. You just are observing them. But I found it really intriguing and beautiful to watch. If you want your movies to have a plot, you will not like this movie.
True. I think I said, well, that was interesting.
I guess it's just really evocative. Like, it provokes a lot of really strong emotional reactions. Or for me, it provoked a lot of strong emotional reactions watching it, which I thought was interesting. I could see how other people might term that, like, pretentious or boring. But I found it really interesting. And then, opposite end of the spectrum, we saw Guardians of the Galaxy last weekend. Just totally on a whim. We were having dinner at Little Woody's on Friday night, and I'm like, oh, there's a show starting in 15 minutes, and we're like, let's go, and we just picked up and went to the movies. Super fun. I love Chris Pratt, Andy Dwyer, Parks and Rec, love him. It is just a total piece of fluff. Like, there's no substance there whatsoever. It is very, very funny and really, really silly, and I actually enjoyed it a lot. So
good.
And it's got a fun soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yes, it's all the whole all the music is off of this mixtape that his mom made him in the 80s.
Oh, sweet.
So it's,
I would totally like it then.
You would, actually. Well, yeah, there's a Bowie one in there.
Of course,
and
there is.
There's some good stuff in there. Anyway, it's a fun movie. If you want total mindless silly fluff, there's your movie. And that's everything I've been
speaking
watching.
Speaking of the 80s.
Yes.
And Jonathan Demme.
Yes.
Nikki and I went to see Stop Making Sense at SIFF Uptown.
Oh, cool.
Because it's the 30th anniversary of it. So that's we went and watched that. That was fun to see. And everyone was like dancing around their seats. I hadn't seen it. Sorry for the ambient noise. It's too hot to close, muggy to close the windows. It just is. Motorcycles. So we went and watched that, and it was great.
Cool.
And I watched The Place Beyond the Pines, which is the same director as Blue Valentine, also with Ryan Gosling. And I can't remember what the cop's name is. It was very good.
Oh, was it?
Kind of sad. I liked it. I
kind of mixed things about it.
I don't know. I liked it.
Okay.
Whatever. Just so you know, I don't read reviews. I don't really care what other people say about movies. I feel like I have to watch them for myself before I see them. And I hate having things spoiled.
Yeah, I hate spoilers, but I do have certain reviewers that I not even necessarily that I agree with, but like I kind of feel like I know their jam, and so I can use that. Because I hate spending time watching a movie that I, especially spending money to see it in the theater.
Oh, see, I hardly ever go to the theater.
I know, it's like if I'm gonna sit through a movie in the theater and pay all that money for a family of four.
That's why you should go to the $3 movie theater.
Well, I would, but they haven't been showing anything lately.
Well, they show everything that's about to be released to DVD.
Yes, that's true.
You just have to wait.
All right, well.
Because Godzilla and Godzilla 3.
They're showing there. Grand Budapest there.
Still?
Have you been? Or they were last week.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Anyway, that's how I feel about movies and reviews.
Okay.
It's like, I don't care what other people think. Take it with a grain of salt.
All right.
I watched Her, which was good. The thing on the Netflix envelope said it was romantic comedy, and that's a bunch of BS. That is not true.
No,
it
not
is a straight up drama.
Yeah.
With some crazy, crazy people. I liked it. Don't
get
me wrong.
Some of the same crazy people that are in The Master. Adams and Joaquin Phoenix.
And I like Amy Adams a lot.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. I really liked that. That was, I think, was my favorite film last year.
Yeah. Definitely felt a bit skeezy watching some of it. Like, I didn't feel like I should have been in the room, like, with those people.
I watched it with my older son, so 15-year-old in the movie theater with me for some of that. Yeah.
I watched it by myself, and I was glad.
Yeah.
I totally dug the costumes. There's this whole, like, retro-futuristic thing, and lots of high-waisted pants,
and
I dug it.
Really pretty shirts.
In that part, there's the part where she's like, let's go lay down in the bedroom, and he lays down on the bed, and she's telling him stuff, like, toward the end, and pretty sure my brother had that same comforter. It was, like, brown and violet stripes. Pretty sure he had that, like, from the late 70s. So, I really enjoyed it, and it was, like, beautiful to watch, and an interesting story, and believable. Like, you know, I had heard about it, and I was like, well, I don't know, it sounds meh.
Yeah.
But I liked it. It was good.
Cool.
I didn't think it was super great. I think it was, had some issues with it. But overall, good. And I watched Gravity, and oh my god. Why just watch that first thing in the morning before I'd, like, really gotten some caffeine in me? I don't know. But it freaked me out.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was like, ah! Stuff is happening all the time, and they're in space. What? It was really
just
good.
Still,
it was really good. I liked it.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure everybody knows what I just kind of said. It has George Clooney and Sandra Bullock in it, and they're out in space, and bad stuff happens, like bad stuff upon bad stuff,
and then more bad stuff happens, and then more bad stuff.
And there's a lot. So if you get like that whole thing where you get kind of dizzy with camera angles that shift around, don't watch the movie because.
Yeah.
I mean, I was glad I was at home and not in a dark theater when there was all this spinning around.
Actually, we watched
stuff.
It in 3D. Yeah. Not IMAX, though, because I can't stand that. But it was amazing in 3D in the theater because
I bet.
Everything just feels like it goes back. It wasn't so much the gimmick of 3D where it makes you feel like stuff is coming at you, it just creates this impression that everything goes space on forever. Space, yeah. And it was a very enveloping feeling in the theater. And I loved also the way it starts with silence, because in the movie theater, it's like all these old ladies and stuff are in there like, yak, 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 yak. And then there's just dead silence. Everyone got really quiet.
Yeah,
like, that's right, people. Shut up during my movie. And they stayed quiet through the whole movie.
Yeah, well, it's a quiet movie, it except is. For short bursts of extreme of terror. Loud tear. Extremely loud. Yeah. It was good, though. I liked it. I'm glad I watched it.
Cool.
I watched Snowpiercer.
Ooh!
It was good.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I'm dying really to see good. It.
I love Tilda Swinton so hard. I love her.
But you gotta go see Grand Budapest.
Oh, my God. She's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you don't know what Snowpiercer is about, it's post-apocalyptic. If you don't like that, don't let it turn you off, because there's more going on than just the post-apocalyptic part. Anyway, humans have put this crap in the atmosphere to try and cool down the Earth, because we've screwed it up with like climate change and like global warming and stuff. So put this stuff in the atmosphere. It works too well, and like all life dies off, except for there's this train, and this train... There's tracks, it was supposed to be like this luxury train that went all over the world, and it took 1 year to do its circuit. And so the train, each car, it's divided by class. So at the end of the train, you have like the super low down people, and the front of the train is like the engineer, and then like, you know, the upper class, and it goes down from there. And so basically this guy is trying to fight his way up to the front of the train. Tilda Swinton's like this, kind of like a prime minister type character. She's like the boss lady of the train. Mm. And she, you know, is supposed to suppress rabble rousing and all this stuff. And, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's, did you ever see the movie The Host?
Yes, of course. Because this is a monster in it.
Right. So it's a South Korean, monster film.
And the main guy from that... The main character in that is also in Snowpiercer.
Yeah, it's got a real international cast, too. Yeah.
It's very good.
I definitely want to
see that. Highly enjoyable. And if you like Tilda Swinton, like I do, she's got, like, big false teeth and huge glasses. She's amazing.
Amazing. Cool.
Highly recommend it. And that I took Audrey to see How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Uh-huh.
And we both really liked it.
Oh, good.
I know you said you thought it was kind of boring, but you didn't see it with a 5-year-old.
Well, yeah, I know. I think that's definitely true.
And I thought she had seen the first one, and she hadn't. Oh. So, but she, like, she's so stoic, the little thing. She's, like, crying at parts. She didn't want me to see.
Oh.
There's this little boy, like, 3 seats down who's just, like, bawling his eyes out. He's like, it's too sad.
Oh, no. Like, oh, poor guy.
You just went to the wrong showing, maybe.
Aw, that's sad.
Had a good audience, but, yeah. Audrey was like, I was crying, and I didn't want you to see that I was crying, because it's just a movie. I was like, who are you?
Aw.
You're all grown up.
Yeah.
So that was good. It was enjoyable.
Good.
And she loves she loves dinosaurs, so I knew the dragons would be an easy sell.
Yeah.
So. And I watched the last season of The Killing.
Oh.
Which I hated how it ended.
Oh, this is new. Like, they just posted
it. It's a Netflix-produced season 4. It's the final season of The Killing.
Okay.
But the same characters and everything. Different, you know, murder mystery thing happening. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Hmm.
They wrap up what happens with season 3. And I didn't like what they did with Holder and Purr and...
Sorry. That's a bummer.
Anyways, it's only 6 episodes, so whatever.
Oh.
Okay. It's kind of a throwaway season, but it was pretty good up until the last episode. Come on. Seriously?
I haven't watched
it. You don't have to believe me. You can watch it.
I've only watched the first season, so
the first 2 seasons are the best seasons.
All right.
I got my HR person hooked on it. So I had to tell her when she comes back from vacation not to blame me for season 4, because it sucks.
Too bad.
Whatever. Oh, she does wear some amazing sweaters, though.
I would say.
The knitwear is still good.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. That's it.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is all. So, show notes as always at doublenet.net. And you can find us on our, let's see if I can do this right, on our Ravelry group, Doublenet Podcast Fans. Yes. Boom. Did it.
Yeah. Oh, and thanks to everybody who started following me on Instagram.
Yeah, me too.
I got a bunch of new followers.
I did bam, too. Bam, bam. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, thank you.
I like have new online friends who I never meet in person. I like your pictures. I like Instagram. Creeping on your
pictures.
I like pictures because I feel like it. I know, like Twitter, there's like a word
limit.
What's it called? Word limit. I feel like with pictures, you don't really need any words, really. One sentence, maybe two. People, if you have too many words on your photos, I have to stop following you. I'm sorry. I cannot read a paragraph underneath a photo. Can't do it.
Okay. Duly noted.
Seriously.
All right.
I like pictures.
Is everybody clear? Aaron just wants pictures.
It's true.
All right.
Pictures from knitting. That's the best.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
I'm tired.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Diddy won't do. Did it walk?